If your knees check the weather before you do, time to check out Joint Relief Institute. Fast, FDA-approved pain relief covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000 as in zero pain.
720 WGN, high atop Chicago Skyline Studio. Freedom Friday on the 4th of July kickoff special here. Until 10 a.m. And, you know, when there's a big event happening, you know that you're going to, especially when it's on the NASCAR side and on the racing side, you know that NASCAR Chasm will be somewhere in there, at least commenting, right? Maybe even from far, you know, making some snarky comments. Certainly funny, all the time funny, right? But when you can get him in person and in place, you know that you have an event worthy of him. I saw him out at Naval Base Coronado. He was out there for that. He rappelled down from, I think it was an Apache. Might have been a Blackhawk. I'm not sure. And either way, as Chicagoland Speedway gets back on track, he is going to be out at the Speedway. We're lucky enough to have him in studio with us. So NASCAR Chasm. But now David Vrabel, I remember when it was, when you were kind of like the guy from, what was it, like Home Improvement or something?
Where Wilson.
You were, yes, where you were the mystery guy, right, with this thing. But it's good that you can be out, I don't want to say out of the, you can be out and about, right, mm-hmm. as yourself. David, welcome to WGN.
Yeah, thank you so much. It was, we made the decision a while back, let's stop hiding the face, let's stop blurring out the face, let's just be out there in public. And the, pretty much the biggest, I would say, response I got after I did that was, okay, how do we unblur your face again? How do we revert back to when we didn't know how you looked? So
that's
overwhelmingly great response.
That is not true, but it is kind of cool, right, to be starting as a fan. And you know, as NASCAR kind of got to the point where they were incorporating some of the social media stuff, knowing that there's a lot of voices there, knowing that that is, you know, a big part of the fan base that people love to interact, right? And to have you be able to do that. So you were just doing it anyway, right? This wasn't something where some marketing team like created you in a laboratory somewhere, right? You were just doing it and they're like, hey, well, why don't we just get this guy?
Yeah, precisely. I mean, I wish that the Genesis story was way more interesting than it is,
you
but it's really
bit by a radioactive racing spider,
yeah,
or
exactly.
Something.
You know, something cool like that. Like, you know, suddenly all these powers hit you. No, I was sitting at home and I think I was watching a Pocono race and just kind of sort of cracking wise a little bit to my wife, you know, all these terrible
things. It's like Mike Helton texts you like, hey, how does that go?
Yeah, you would think, but I was just cracking wise. And at that point, Twitter was really brand new. It was back, we're talking back in the early 140 character manual RT days. And so she was like, you should start one of those Twitter account things. And so I was like, okay. And that was literally just sitting on the couch on some random Sunday watching a Pocono race. That's when I decided to start this account.
For any of those family members out there that may be, and for our listeners, we have a, you know, vast listening audience. And maybe if your parent or maybe your significant other is constantly telling you, I don't want to say that they're saying you're a loser, but they're saying like, hey, you couldn't find a more constructive use of your time than being on social media. This is a case in point of it just all paying off. Right. And so anytime when your wife questions anything you do, do you just say, babe, look how this has all worked out?
Precisely. So here's the thing. This is an interesting little dovetail on that, Dane. Earlier this year in May, I was actually asked to speak to a fourth grade class, a follower of mine who is a school teacher up in kind of sort of the northwest side of Indianapolis, asked me to come speak to her class because she's very much into racing. And a lot of schools like to incorporate the Indy 500 when May rolls around into the teachings and so on. So I was like,
they can't get, you know, Scott Dixon. Or,
oh, exactly.
They've got you.
Precisely. Look. I've accepted my place in the sport. I am when the first three choices cancel, I'm your guy. That's how I roll in. But anyways, I go in there and talk a little bit about what I do, and all these young impressionable children are like, so if we want to do what you do, like, how did you get to where you are? And
this is tough. This is tough territory.
There's all the, you know, the things you're supposed to do that you're supposed to tell these children: read, write, learn, work hard,
learn to spell. Maybe
precisely, learn to spell. But my thought in the back of my head is, well, if you waste 4 hours on the internet, you'll eventually get a job with NASCAR. So ignore your parents when they tell you to read, write, study, all that stuff. Just crack open a Twitter account or a Twitch, whatever. This happens to everybody.
Yeah, it's kind of tough now, especially when a lot of traditional careers we know are going to be exploded and obliterated by AI, right? And so maybe that advice as a parent that you would give, saying like, here's what you need to do. Because you know what, when I was a kid, I was told, just get a job in one place, work there a long time so you can get a pension. That's what you do. That was the roadmap to success. And then, of course, that just doesn't work that way anywhere. You can't even get health insurance. Hopefully you have some, right? Okay. They'll be like, is it called NASCAR? Because it should be. If it isn't.
Yeah, no, I'm and thankfully my wife is actually a PA, so a lot of my medical care comes from me being a hypochondriac and reading something on WebMD and walking up and being like, what is this rash? What is this rash? What is this rash? And so that's where the primary health care comes from. But we're all taken care of.
I think the way to describe it is stay vigilant.
Yes.
Right? If you see something, even if it's a rash, mm-hmm. say something.
And you know, if it's right there, if your doctor is literally sitting across the couch from you, you can just be like, anything. It doesn't matter. The number of times I say, hey, hon, could you look at this each week is like eclipsing about 40 or 50 now. She's getting really annoyed,
Keep track and say like, hey, if this was a regular MinuteClinic, here's what you would owe. So at least you can show the value of what it is she's offering.
Yeah. Yeah. I think after 50, she's going to have me start filing claims, basically, I can't say I disagree with her.
4th of July is a time to celebrate and get out there and do things. We talked with the Cubs are happening, Navy Pier fireworks behind us. So much is going to be happening out at Chicagoland Speedway as they get back on track. And we're going to talk with David NASCAR Chasm about all of that when we come back. 720 WGN, it is Freedom Friday as we get into the 4th of July weekend of celebrations. Normally right here you'd hear our entertainment report sponsored by JeffBeiserHouse.com. We've got NASCAR Chasm, David Vrabel in studio with us. And of course, I think that is on your business card, right? Or at least your job description, entertaining. So here you go.
It is on the business card. I wouldn't put it as my number one LinkedIn skill necessarily, but I guess that is the job requirement, I'd say.
Well, I mean, the lighter side of what can be a very serious business, but also very fun on the NASCAR side in racing. And with all of that happening and getting back to Chicagoland Speedway, you had mentioned off the air that you've been there before. A lot of people haven't. I was talking with Ryan Blaney the other day, and he's informing us like it's maybe like 30-40% of the drivers that are there and going to be on the track this weekend have never been there. And although it's very similar to Kansas, it's different, right? But you have been there. You've been there in the past. You've experienced Chicagoland.
Oh, several. I mean, I live in Indianapolis, and so next to Indianapolis Motor Speedway, this was by far the most proximate track we could get to, a quick little two-hour drive. And so we always came
here. So a track of convenience.
Yes, very much. But the first time we came here, which I believe was 2010, and I think personally it was only like the third race I ever attended. And so back then, we had to go on Craigslist and find somebody who had bought a season ticket package. Oh, yeah. Who was selling their tickets race by race. And so we found a guy, and we got in there in 2010, and hands down, it was one of my, and this is not hyperbole, this was one of my favorite races I personally have ever attended. When I started becoming a fan of NASCAR, and I don't know how this was ingrained into me necessarily, but I was conditioned to root against the popular guys. I think that's a fun thing to do. Like your Jimmy Johnson, Jeff Gordon's, like all the big names. Root against those guys. It's not cool to, you know, that's like you're rooting for the Empire in Star Wars.
Yes.
if you're doing that.
Well, Darth Vader, you know, he's got a cool outfit.
Precisely.
Seems to have it all together.
Yes, exactly. And so anyways, yada, 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 as the race goes on, this fellow named David Ruderman won the race, stunned everybody, and he was this complete underdog fellow who months earlier had won, and finger quote, won the Coca-Cola 600 on a rain delay just by being out when the race was
still
stopped.
Still counts.
I know. Hey, record books is the record book here. But anyways, he followed that up by coming to Chicagoland and just smoking the entire field to the point where I recall I was listening in my headphones. I think we had Jeff Gordon's radio frequency I was listening to. And David Ruderman blows by this guy. And Jeff Gordon's like, that thing is a rocket, like just stunned and couldn't believe it. And so anyways, it was just like a wonderful underdog victory to see. And, you know, that kind of memory is like, yeah, you know, I'm going to be coming back here every year, I think.
Well, you mentioned to see, and for those people, and we did a ton, and it was a groundbreaking experience to have the street race here in Chicago. You were part of all that. You and I got together a bunch on that stuff. And it was amazing sight lines on TV. Pretty cool event, right? To see the skyscrapers and the cars. And of course, there were a little bit of growing pains with blocking all the streets in the city. Not everybody was excited about that part. But when it comes to see in person, it was kind of tough, right? There's only certain places where you could see certain parts of the track. There was no good, easy way to enjoy it. Chicagoland, totally different. You are going to be able to, and for those people, I think it's getting close to a sellout. NASCAR has done a great job over the last, I don't know, 6-7 weeks, right? And some of these bigger venues and selling them out. And so people are enjoying that live experience. There's nothing like it, but you're going to be able to see the whole race. You're going to be able to see the whole race, all that passing, all that excitement. It's totally different to watch it at a track like this as opposed to a road course.
Oh, absolutely. Actually, I was sitting in the green room there, and I checked Ticketmaster. There are a scant few blue dots remaining in that grandstand, and that's really good to see. So if you're thinking about it, you want to go on right now and snatch those up. And yeah, like Dane was basically saying right here, you can see the entire track here. You see all four turns. You do not miss anything. It's a spectacular time. And one thing, not to get too into the weeds of how NASCAR works exactly, but one of the things that's probably going to make this race this weekend particularly a banger is the fact that we haven't been here since 2019. And that surface has sat there through 7 Chicago winters and weathered and gotten bumpy and basically just suffered through the elements the entire time. And when we're racing on a surface that is like that, that is not smooth, that is worn out, that grinds up tires, it makes for a spectacular show.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. I wasn't sure when I got a chance to go out and check it out and see it, you know, when they're doing some tire tests and things. I had no idea what I'd see. It looks pretty good, pretty pristine. It wasn't hard for them to get it back in shape. I didn't know if I was going to see something from like a post-apocalyptic thing with like trees growing up through the track, maybe like a gopher infestation. It seemed like it was in pretty good shape. They're taking care of it. And like you said, it is going to be absolutely amazing for people to be able to see and experience. Plus, here's the other things that I think are unique to the NASCAR and the racing experience that you just don't find at other sports. We love our tailgating situation. We do a ton of it with the Bears. Obviously, sports culture here in Chicago is huge. But as people will show up early in the morning to tailgate for a Bears game, people will show up Tuesday, Wednesday to tailgate for a Sunday race in NASCAR. It's serious.
Oh, it's fantastic. You know, the campgrounds especially, that's one thing that I enjoy that really sets NASCAR apart from a lot of other sports is the camping culture, really. It's not that you don't show up a lot of people don't show up day of and just go to the race. Some do, that's fine. But like you said, other people who are devoted fans of the sport, they roll in on Tuesday. They roll in on Wednesday. They plunk their campers down. They set it up and they create this little town in the campgrounds a couple days before the race. And it's a community. It's, hey, you know, we're fans of this driver. We're fans of this driver. There's some crap talking a little bit. And just hanging out, getting to know each other. It's like I said, it's very communal in those campgrounds. It's a great place to hang out. Most of them, I will say, at Talladega, if you're camping there, do not bring anybody 18 or younger.
Okay. Yeah, that is an important point to mention, is that as much as, and what we always say, it's an all-star game, it's the same drivers, all those great drivers travel from track to track, so you see them all. It isn't like you're watching the Cincinnati Bengals versus the Jacksonville Jaguars. Kind of underwhelming, right? This is all the biggest stars are there every single time. But the track experience, and I think the on-field community experience around it, can vary from place to place. You have what they were trying to go for, maybe an urban sort of Monaco feel here in Chicago, and then you've got really a traditional Midwestern racing experience at Chicagoland. And you mentioned Talladega. If everybody like bags on saying that the NASCAR's lost its true origin story spirit, it is alive and well in Talladega. And anything bad that you've heard, and I don't want to say bad, any like the debauchery and anything, it is as advertised, definitely at what is this, Talladega Boulevard? Is that where it is?
Talladega Boulevard on Friday and Saturday night. It is a sight to behold. And now that I've been, you know, working for NASCAR for 11 years, anytime someone tells me they're going to Talladega for the first time, I almost want to produce a waiver that says they have to sign it that says they understand that eye bleach does not exist. It does not exist yet. You are going to see some things that would send a shudder down the spine of even the hardiest soul.
Yes.
Yeah.
What did you think about, we've got maybe a minute before we've got to go to break, but what I love about the leadership today on the racing side of NASCAR is they're always pushing the envelope, always trying to create sort of new, just crazy different experiences for fans because they know people travel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And that's really what they've been pushing lately, which I absolutely love. You know, look, when you try something, you're not guaranteeing it's going to succeed. You know, everything is a try. Let's try this. Let's try this. Let's try this. You know, you tried the Chicago Street Race. They tried the road course at IMS. They did dirt on Bristol. And, you know, some work, some don't. But the fact is they're trying something new. And I think that's something that should absolutely be applauded. You know, and we just had great success with that out in San Diego on the Naval Base. That was a lot of fun. And so, yeah, all these times they attempt something new. I think it's, yeah, let's applaud them trying this instead of just, you know, going back to the same old schedule.
I think that one's going to stick. That was pretty amazing out there, building in the men and women in uniform at the same time. And you have sort of that venue that is just so possible with it, right? It isn't like kind of interloping here and kind of busting up everyone's routine in Chicago. Well, one of the things we mentioned it talking about it is that the food, the tailgating scene, the barbecue scene is huge when it comes to NASCAR. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk with Tim Scheer. He is the man behind Blues Hog Barbecue. They're in the NASCAR scene. They sponsor the cars. They certainly are helping to produce some of the best stuff on the tailgate side around the track as well. So stay tuned for that. But right now we're going to take a break. It's 720 WGN.